हरिः ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरित भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Sri Tattva Sutras, Chapter 3, Achit, Adartha, Prakarana, Matter, page 96, commentary by Srila Bhaktivedanta. Here the word sa means the material nature, para means the supreme personality of Godhead, and ana nu raktanam means of they who, exercising their independence, have no love for the Lord and are fond of disobeying his orders. Interesting. And are fond. For such persons, the material nature provides a series of shackles, which begin with the material bodies in which the conditioned souls dwell. This is described in the following words of the Katha Upanishad 2 through 7. They who do not love the Supreme Personality of Godhead enter a mother's womb and again dwell in the material body. Some even become unmoving trees and plants. They attain different stations in life according to the past deeds and according to the thoughts at the moment of death. Right? So that combination of their past deeds, what they think of at the time of death. Because at the time of death, generally it'll be based on your previous deeds, but it will give a very specific direction. In Katha Upanishad 2-1, it is said, the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose heart is supremely pure, also resides in the city of 11 gates, that is the material body of the conditioned soul. Right, so the conditioned soul is there and he's bound, but the super soul is also living there and not bound. In Bhagavad Gita 14.5, the Supreme Personality of God explains, material nature consists of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the living entity comes in contact with nature, he becomes conditioned by these modes. In Bhagavad Gita 5.18, the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains, the humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, an outcast. So equal vision means they see them all, that they're all soul. It's not that they can't tell the difference between a dog and a dog eater. You know, or Brahma, cow, they can't tell the difference. It means, yeah, how do you say, like that. The one with the, so in other words, the one with the horns, that's the cow, the one with the long nose, that's the elephant, the one with the, you know, somewhat long nose, but not so long, that's the dog, and the guy who's chewing on the dog, that's the dog here. So they can tell the difference, but they're seeing that it's the soul that's in all these forms. And the soul being in these forms, it's taking on the quality of those forms. It's bound by that. That's the point, is that the Lord comes in the material nature. He comes down here in his own form through his internal potency. He has nothing to do with the modes. While we're here, then our bodies are given by the modes, we're controlled by the modes. So the realized soul understands that that's the position. So the living entity is acting like a dog. You deal with it like a dog, but it's actually the soul. That's what makes the dog. The dog, that's the combination of material elements. But the actual dog is the living entity. They act, they identify with, they act like the dog. In the Katha Upanishad 2-4, it is said, the question is asked, when the embodied soul becomes liberated and leaves his material body behind, who will control him? The answer is the Supreme that still controls him. Like, okay, control, but then who will control? No, the Lord has always been controlled. It's just a matter of, do we accept the control of the Lord, or we reject that, like it said before. Those who Ananuraktana means of they who, exercising their independence, have no love for the Lord and are fond of disobeying his orders. So he's always been controlling. The point is the control based on the mutual love between, or is it based on the Lord taking care of the living entity based on their lack of love for him? In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.26.1, Lord Kapila says, "My dear mother, now I shall describe unto you the different categories of the absolute truth, knowing which any person can be released from the influence of the modes of material nature." And so this sutra that he has. The material world is like a prison where souls who hate the Supreme Personality of Godhead are confined. There the souls are bound with many shackles, such as the material bodies in which they dwell. Okay, so that just establishes, how is that coming up? Yeah, it just shows us there. And Sutra 24. Because it is the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the material nature has neither beginning nor end. We greet you. Srila Jiva Goswami describes the nature of Maya as the potency of the Lord in Anuchedas 51 and 52 as follows. That one real entity, remaining free from material dualities, divided himself into two categories in a way which was beyond mind and words, with a manifestation of Maya, which was glanced upon by the mind. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.24.3. Purport by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. That one entity, the great Brahman, became two in form, Maya, his external energy, and the Jiva, Tathasta Shakti, the enjoyer of that. These are described. Brahman is without difference, near me, called Pitam, since the other two are his energies. They are beyond words and mind, since Prakriti is unmanifest and the Jiva is very small. They are both called Satyam because they are both real. Sardartha Darshani, another 23. Sridhar Swami's commentary says, the Brahman, Vihat, became two, in the illusory or playful form of Maya glanced upon by Brahman. That Maya is a special manifestation, phalam of Brahman. This act was beyond words and mind. Of these two categories of manifestation, one is Prakriti, which embodies cause and effect. The other is the conscious living entity, designated as the Jiva. But it means, so the Jiva, he can be an instrument in this, because the material energy itself, under the direction of the Lord, then it is transforming. So the Jiva can just take part in what transformations can take place. This commentary of Sridhar Swami says, of the two divided parts, Tayoga, one is the form of cause and effect. Vishnu Purana 1.2.24 says, Purane Vishnu Swarupat Parato Hi Tain Ye Rupe Pradhanam Purushas Chavipra. O Brahmana, from the Swarup of Vishnu appear two other forms, Pradhana and Jiva. The commentary says, from the Swarup of Vishnu, who has no upadis, Parataha, the two entities, Pradhana and Purusha, Anye, created by Maya, become manifest. So in other words, you're going to have Pradhana is going to be the aspect of cause and effect. And at the same time as Purusha, then they themselves take part in that. Now, Pradhana, because of transforming, there is no reaction there. There's no, Maya is not controlled by Maya, right? Maya is under the control of the Lord. And so the Jiva then, because they take part in that and identify with it, then they are given the opportunity to be classified as the Nimitta, or who is causing that effect. And so then from that, then both they are both created by Maya. So you have the Upadana and the Nimitta, and then the Jiva takes part in the Nimitta, thinking that it's transforming Upadana. It's taking ingredients and transforming them. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because it is the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the material nature has neither beginning nor end. In the Smriti Shastra, it is said, please know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his material energy are both beginningless. In Srimad Bhagavatam 111, it is said, O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge into the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. As one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen in water, only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. And so unreal here means they're temporary. So they're manifest and then they'll disappear. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Yeah. So the illusory representations of the material world, it's a reflection of the spiritual world, but the point is being reflected on the water of desire, then it's going to, that's all the more substance this has, is someone's desire. It doesn't have actually the temporary nature of everything, and that you're dealing with unconscious matter, you know, in 24 elements, and that everything that you see is a combination of these 24 elements. And these elements can go back into their origin of these. Whatever's manifest is made of the 24 elements, what's in it can go back into the 24 elements. And then at some point, all that winds back up into the dawn, which winds back into the Lord. So it's because of that, it's called unreal. Because we think it's real, it's not. So whenever you see these negative definitions, that's because of the perspective of the condition. So it's for the liberated souls, they just see it all as Krishna's energy. For Krishna, it's just all this energy. There's superior energy, inferior, but it's not spiritual material. It's all spiritual. It's all in. It's all the mind. But it's inferior in that it's unconscious while the internal is conscious. And so for the liberated souls, they also see in that same way. It's all Krishna's energy. But for the conditioned soul, then you have the material and the spiritual. You have the two realms, because we think in duality, then therefore then these things come up. But when we think that it's all Krishna and his energies, then we see things come. So that the same way as it would be. Although it has neither beginning nor end, matter is situated within the confines of time and space. The author describes this in the following two sutras, right? So it was defined by time and space, then it's controlled by these things. Time means things can happen. Space means it can accommodate, and therefore they can be there. Sutra 25. Time is not another category of existence. It is the intermediary that establishes the relationship between the conditioned souls and the material nature, right? So being the intermediary, it's what makes things happen. So because action is there, and who's performing the action? The jiva. So time makes the connection between the material energy, which is being acted upon, and the jiva, who is doing the acting. Right? So without time, how do you put the two together? Udviti. Srila Jiva Goswami describes about Kala in Anucheda 53 as follows. Elsewhere, the difference is described according to the different functions of the unctions called substance, Upadana, and efficient cause, Nimitta. Right? So there's going to be various parts. And accordingly, how they're described is according to their function. Right? You have in the kitchen, you have kitchen utensils. They're all utensils of the kitchen. But according to their function, you call this a knife, this a bowl, this a spoon, you know, this a rolling pin. But they're all kitchen utensils. Time, the agitator, fate, action or cause, the condition, jiva, impressions, the sense objects, the property, mahatattva, false ego, the 11 senses, and 5 gross elements. The body, all this constitutes your material illusory energy, maya, an endless cycle like that of seed and plant. I take shelter of you, the negation of this maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:63-6. Right, so then as he said, all these different things of upadana and nimitta, then you have time, the agitated fate, action, condition, jiva, impressions, all these are just different aspects of this. The commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami says, Kala is the agitator. Karma or action is the nimitta or cause. Daiva is manifestation of future results of action. Swabhava is the impressions of daiva on the jiva. Right? So our particular conditioning is the effect of the impressions, right, of our previous actions. We perform an action that creates a transformation. But that also then defines what result you'll get from that action. I perform an action, I will get a specific result. Right? Then, accordingly, I'm going to identify with that. And I'm going to think, this is me. And I'm going to act accordingly. Right? And so those impressions, so that's why when you change your impressions and it's about Krishna, so everything you think about is about Krishna, then you're transcendentally situated. You're not on the bodily platform. But just saying, oh, we're not this body, but still identifying and acting according to the body, but not according to what Shastra says the body is supposed to do. Or even if we do, oh, I'm a Brahmin, I should do this. But the point is no, you're the soul. Soul serves Krishna. So therefore, as a Brahmin, how are you going to serve Krishna? So the point is if not, then you perform action that makes it where you will therefore have the impressions of, you know, from Daiva of being a Brahmin. And so now being that identity, then you'll work with that. Dravyam is sense objects. Kshetram is property. Right? Because Dravyam means the articles of action are the sense objects, because you can't work with something that you don't perceive with your senses. Your senses are perceiving it through the knowledge acquiring, and with the working senses, you're dealing with it. Like Kshetram is property. So in the material nature, everything's happening in property. Prana is sutra, prior to ahankar. Right? So that means that how you say, that life, that how you identify what it is that you want. I want to be the controller and enjoyer. Atma is ahankar. So the atma, the living entity, he identifies himself. So that's where the ahankar comes from. Vikara refers to the 11 senses and the 5 gross elements, 16 in total. Tat sangataha is the body, right? So all that will be in the body. All these are a cycle, pravaha, like a seed and sprout. From the body comes the seed or action, karma. From that action comes a body, which is like a sprout of the action. That's why it says kutaj. You perform the action, then there's the sprout. Right? That'll then create the next one. And that would give seeds, and that would give fruits like that. So the whole thing's working all together is that you have a desire seed. When you act upon it, it sprouts and gives you the fruit. Right? But at the same time, it also creates the future desire for doing those things. That's your impressions. From that comes another action of seed, which produces another body. Right? So then the sprout of this particular situation then is going to then give seeds that will then sprout and create another one. Right? Does that make sense? This is the flow or prabaha. I worship prabhat, yea, you, tat, or the negation of this. Right? So Krishna is beyond this. By being absorbed in him, all this goes away. Why does all this come? Because you identify, right? The Atma, the life of it, is you identify with the material energy as controller and enjoyer. And because of that, then you get these results, these reactions.
Maharaj?
Yes.
So I read about this, that the samasti and vyasti aspects. So the body one has at the vyasti level and the samasti level, the universal body, the whole principle remains the same, how it functions, the whole thing. So actually samasti and vyasti are that how the universal principles applies on the individual jiva and then
yes.
Collection of jivas together. And then unless they are working towards pleasing the Supreme, then they won't solve the purpose of their existence. Like the jiva, if he is not functioning at that level, and samasti is anyway controlled directly by the Purusha, so it's always functioning in that. So there is that harmony, the entire creation at all levels.
Yes, this principle then goes all the, yes, like you're saying, it goes all the way through. That the universal form is all the forms that are available. What they can, in other words, the existence of all forms, the uniqueness of the specific forms, the action that can be, action and results that can be gained from a particular form, and the particular purpose of a particular form. All that's in the universal form. So that's their unlimited volume of all that, but that's already there. Then the individual needs, according to their karma, they will get particular aspects of that substance, of the particular, what particular existence has a particular uniqueness, particular action, and particular, let's say, purpose, right? So all these things will then be there. So the whole universe is about the facility for the individual, but the individual is following the rules of the universal. So in other words, the universal is about the living entity, the individual, but the individual is then functioning in a way in the context of the universal. Right? So that's how then, that's just the way things work. They don't work another way, because that's how Krishna does. He's dealing with all living entities according to their position, and he is everything, that therefore, according to the position, he provides all facility. But at the same time, it's within that context, they see everything connected to him, because it is, right, including us. So the Sachinda Beta Beta Tattva goes into everything. So you can't see a difference there, but at the same time, it has its uniqueness, you can see the difference. Right? As we said, the individual, so they're working within the universal context. So that means you have to follow the universal law. So you can say, oh, it's about the individual, so I can do what I want. No, it's about you as an individual doing what's there in the universal laws. And the universal laws are provided for you, according to your nature, to do what it is that you want to do. But you still have to do what you're doing in the context of the universal laws. So the two go together. You know, like we were saying yesterday, so you have the institution, its business is about the individual, engaging individuals in the service of the board. And so as an institution, you can accommodate many individuals. Like let's say you have a program. And so thousands of people can go to that program, but those thousands are individuals. So you're gearing it so that those thousands of individuals can be engaged in the Lord's service. Right? At the same time as those thousands of individuals will take part in the program as is appropriate to be involved in the program. Right? Means the program is there, they're there, they come, they sit, they hear, and all that. They don't get up on the stage and start talking and stuff like that. And, you know, so the two go together. So that way that it is a natural cooperation. So you always see is that the Lord and the living entity and his energies, they're always all that's always going on.
Right? Also, Maharaj, yes, sir. Also, we see that the last line says, I worship you, who are the negation of this. Interestingly, in the beginning of next Sandarbha, he explains, Jiva Goswami explains how the Swarupa of Paramatma and Bhagavan is non-different. So, one can see either way. One can see the Lord either as Paramatma or Bhagavan. But only those who have devotion will see them as Bhagavan and they can get out of the whole thing. If you don't see as Bhagavan, if you just see as Paramatma, then you still remain in that without connection with the Lord as Bhagavan.
Yeah, because it won't have that devotion. It means you have knowledge of the Lord, you accept his position, but then the point is God's just part of your knowledge. Or God's part of your morality for the karmas. So in other words, as we said yesterday, that the human being, he accepts that there's God, I'm a living entity, and this is his material world, so I follow the laws of God. That's where human life begins. Otherwise, if you don't know beyond that, you don't know you're not the body, and you just act according to your natural sentiments on what you feel gets you more of what you want, then you're just acting like an animal, right? Because you can say, oh, but we're so much more sophisticated than this and that. Living entities already have all these things. You know, bird is born to fly, right? You know, in other words, the first thing a bird does is fly, not walk. Right, because they're in the nest. You can't, unless you fly, how do you get out? You can't walk around. It's not like the nest is so big. It's got, you know, a veranda, and, you know, a nice balcony. And, you know, no, it's just a little dinky thing there. So then you fly. So they're already flying. So this whole thing is whatever it is that's there, it's already going on in nature. So. So the point is the devotees are the ones that are using it properly because they see it in devotion to the Lord. They surrender to the Lord. The others are submissive to the Lord. I mean, in other words, following the directions given by the Lord, but they haven't surrendered to him as a person. You know, so that's going to be a difference then. Does that make sense? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati makes that point that you have that there is the aspect of as Bhagavan, then he is the supreme enjoyer. And then that relationship with him, you have the exclusivity because you have the aspect that it's exclusive because it's only about the Lord. So everything else is seen in the context of the Lord. Right? So therefore, the Lord is the most important. It's exclusively about him. Therefore, all the devotees become important because they're connected with the Lord. They're the friends of the Lord, the parents, or, you know, like this of the Lord. And so, therefore, then they become important. Right? And because you don't have the aspect of duality, then you don't have a problem on being able to see them as non-different from the Lord and at the same time unique. And so you can deal with them each individually, uniquely as a person, and the Lord is a person. And so all the other realms, they are just expansions to give more flavor in that to Brudge. So in other words, Brudge is the original existence. All other existences are there in support and service to Brudge. That's actually what's going on, because the pastimes of Vrindavan, then they'll have, you know, special uniqueness that flavor is given is that you have the aspect of separation. So therefore, by going to Dwarka and Mathura, you have that aspect of separation. The same time as you also have, like we saw and speaking about Lalita Madhava, that the same persons in Vrindavan, they're the ones that are in Dwarka. But at the same time, as that gives rise to, because of that, you're the grand, you're not, you want to go back to Vrindavan. That's the end of the conclusion of the play, is that Radha and Krishna are going back to Vrindavan. Right? They're in the Dwarka pastimes, but they go back to Vrindavan. So Dwarka then supports, like that, Mathura supports that aspect of separation. Dwarka supports the supremacy and the sweetness. Right? Because it's just like, how do I say something is sweet? Because it's compared to things that are less sweet. Right? And so therefore, in Mathura, Dwarka and Mathura will be less sweet. The same time as you also have the aspects of they're all worshiping Vishnu, worshiping the demigods. So therefore, Vaikuntha comes in is because you have that aspect you're supposed to worship and all that. You know, it's human beings supposed to worship, you know, and accept like that. And then you have the material energy, where then you can have the Boma Lila, and then you have the aspect of the human society. So in other words, everything is just supporting Braja Lila. Right? And so then you have that aspect, because you see in these others, that aspect of exclusivity is not there. That's why it's pure unalloyed devotion. But in other realms, you have pure devotion, that it's their devotions to the Lord, but at the same time, it's not as the exclusivity is not as the intensity is not the same, because there's, you know, you have your duties, you have all the other things, you have all the, there it's just, it's about Krishna. And then following the path of Rag, you follow what works. Does that make sense? You have a taste, a rati to serve Krishna. And because of that rati, you do things that enhance the rati. Like Mother Yashoda coming and you know, bending over or picking up Krishna or putting him on his lap or stroking his head. All that increases the rati, right? So that's why it's said it's not about rules. No, from there, then there are rules. It means, in other words, you take what Mother Yashoda does in her day with Krishna and all that, those then are made into rules, and that's how then the rest of the cosmos acts, you know, more or less formally or this or that. Does that make sense? So it's all going to be there, be like that. And so then, you know, it's something else. Material world is very obvious that it's, you know, there's other things going on. But in Vaikuntha also, it's then you have the exclusivity. It's that the Lord and the living entity, that's always there. But then if the Lord, living entity, it's about liberation. It's not exclusively about the Lord. So therefore then, the reciprocation won't have that exclusivity also. So when it's exclusively about the Lord, then the Lord is reciprocating with you on an exclusive platform also. And he's unlimited. He can do that with everybody at once. Like you see, the gopis dancing in the Rasa dance, he's there with every gopi. Does that make sense? Or in between every gopi. So he's able to reciprocate with each gopi, specifically their nature. While in Vaikuntha, he's there, he's God, everybody's around, and it's all, they're all interacting with God together according to their position and duties. And so it's all pure devotion, but it doesn't have that exclusivity there. Does that make sense? So the same way is that it goes both ways, that exclusivity is the Lord and there's the Lord, but there's other things, means liberation, the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation. You know, in that situation, then I serve the Lord. He's the greatest, but I want to be liberated. In that liberated state, I will worship the Lord. So it's pure devotion, because it's just about the Lord. But it doesn't have the exclusivity of pure unalloyed devotion, where you don't even worry about liberation. Right? At the same time, therefore, the reciprocation also is more generic instead of so specifically individual. So as someone's more individually dealing with the Lord, therefore he reciprocates that way. Right? So if that's more, in other words, if you have a Vaikuntha mode, but there's a little bit more aspect of that focus, then that's going to be Dwarka and Mukta. And if it's full, that's going to be Braj. The same way as how he deals with each individual in Braj, then you won't find that in the other realms, because you don't relate to him in that way. It's reciprocal. So that exclusiveness of the worship is very, very special in Braj. It's a very unique place because it is the center. It's not that, oh, there's so many realms and Braj is one of them. No, there's Braj. And then there's other realms. And these other realms are not separate. They're all there as adding some aspect of enhancing the flavor of Braj. Because if Krishna is original Sarup is that of the son of Mother Yashoda, right? Then the point is all other expansions are going to be in support of that. And because he's unlimited, he can expand unlimitedly into all these situations. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then you're going to find is that all these different things. So it's just it's a very specific perspective that the acharyas are trying to bring us to. And we see slowly these are all introduced. You know, we first start off as that we have to take things from Shastra and from authority. So Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Otherwise, it's no, but I feel like this. No, that's not good enough. You can do I feel like this within the context of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Right? That's the basis, and within the choices there, then you apply your feeling according to your qualification. So Guru Sadhu Shastra says, out of all the, say, 50 things that can be done, these five you can do with your qualification. Of that, you feel like doing this. But at the same time, place, and circumstance, it might be, yes, you can do that, but right now it's time for this other thing. Like it's Mangalartik, so it's time for that, not for your job. Right? Or it's time for breakfast, not your japa. Or it's time for japa, not your breakfast. You know, so like this, and so then there's going to be that aspect. But the idea is, no, but I want to do those other 45 things. It says, no, they're not for you because you don't have a qualification. No, but I feel like doing it, so what? You know, I feel like being a billionaire, am I? You know, that this kid over here, you know, feels like being the, Superman and flying through the space. Is he? You know, the dog feels like eating everything that you just put on the table to eat as your lunch. It wants to eat it all. That's what it feels like. You know, so that's the whole thing is that we have to see ourselves within the context of the greater. So the greater is based on how individuals can function cooperatively with the Lord. And then the individual then finds their spot there. So that's the thing of the two, the samasti and the vyasti, go together. You can't separate them. Because the Lord means, how is he the Lord if there's no energies? Right? And the energies, they have no position without the Lord. Right? And you can't say he's powerful if there's no energies. Like that. So the two go, you can't separate. So that's the position. So one has to see is that greater position you have to see, and therefore then everything else comes into its place. So when everything else falls in line with Braj, then it starts to work properly. Right? So we're just talking here about the universal form and we're freaking out. Well, what about bringing everything in line with the Dhamma? That's the next natural step. So if we can't accommodate that, we're not the body. So therefore, since I'm not the body, okay, so I'm in this particular body. What does this body do? What's the nature? What's the qualities? You know, what's the guna and karma? Okay, it can do these things. Oh, okay, so therefore then of that, you know, appropriately, according to the regulations, I make my choices. But to just say we're not the body, I can do whatever I want, that's not intelligent at all. That's childish. I mean, just like three-year-old childish. You know, that's all you're dealing with. Okay, maybe, okay, get them 4 years old, 5 years old. So, but point is that not even five even easy. So that's what you're dealing with. But the point is we're not willing to accept that, no, there is laws and we're going to accept those laws. It's all about, no, you know, we're broad-minded. No, don't say you're broad-minded, say you're liberal. And not liberal in the Vedic sense, meaning liberal, meaning that, you know, you're a leftist. Like that's your idea. And so because of that, then you're saying, oh, I don't care for authority. That's why the first point is Guru, Sadhu, or Shastra. Because you see, in this modern liberal thing, the first thing they do is throw out all authority other than themselves. History, tradition, everything has to go. You know, and then they can establish their own agenda. So that's the first point. It has to be based on Shastra. Then you have to know where you are, how you fit in there. What is the jiva? What's the material nature? What's the Lord? Right? And then how the Lord's controlling that. And then ultimately that goes back to how the Lord, it's about the Lord as a person. That's the exclusivity. Because otherwise he's God, this and that. That's just a position. You're respecting the position. Nice. But it's just a position. It's not about the person. That's why Paramatma is Bhagavan. But in doing the activities of God, then we may just relate to him as God. Therefore, he's known as Paramatma. Does that make sense? Kala, Daiva, Karma, Swabhava are the Nimita, Gunarupa, portion, and the rest are the Upadana, Dravya. So Kala, what do we have? Time. Okay, so time, the agitator, fate, action or cause, and the conditioned jiva. So that would mean that a conditioned jiva would also include the impressions, no? Or the impressions are of external energy.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then the impressions become an upadana, right? So then that means the impressions, the sense objects, the property, mahatattva, false ego, the 11 senses, 5 gross elements, the body, those are all dravya rupa or upadana. So nimita guna rupa. So you control by kala, daiva, karma, and swabhava. And then the rest is then dravya, what then you are working with, what you apply yourself. So that's very much.
The impressions are in the swabhava itself, so it goes into the guna rupa or nimitta.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I could see it. So the I would say is that this point here, this one that came up earlier, we were discussing about the guna rupa and the dravya rupa when we got into details. You should pull this section, you know, and put it into there.
Okay, Mara.
You know, one place it's explained, but then when you get to another place, you don't catch that. And so then, does that make sense? The author further states in Anucheda 58, since he is the root, it is not false to say that Paramatma acts as the material cause. In the 11th canto, it is said, Prakriti is the material cause. The Purusha is the foundational cause. Time, the indirect cause, is the agitator of Prakriti. I am all three, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.4.19. So you have the material, you have the basis on what it can work, and then you have the agitator that makes things happen. Time makes things. It's just like with time, it's like you sit someone down in a chair, say, just sit here, like that, and nothing's going on. There's no sounds, there's no nothing, there's nothing. It's just like that. With time, what's going to happen? Right? They're going to be agitated. And because of that, they're going to want to do something. Right? So that's the thing, is time agitates. And so therefore, then you have to see is, okay, according to time, place, and circle, what am I supposed to do? So as time agitates, therefore, then what is my part within this? Right? According to my swabhava, and that, what should I be doing? So interesting. So Krishna's all three. He's the Purusha, the foundational, he's the time, the indirect, and he's the adjective, Prakriti. Purport by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. How is the Supreme Lord the highest cause? This purport by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that we put in, no?
Yes, Maharaj, we put it for that particular verse.
Okay.
Maybe I have to put an udhriti. It's already put in within the udhriti, so I didn't put another udhriti within it.
So udhriti? Or udhriti. Yeah, we can find out what would be in that. Purport by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti. How is the Supreme Lord the highest cause? Prakriti is famous as the material cause, upadana, of the effect, the universe. The Purusha, Supreme Lord, is the adhishtana karma, the foundational cause, adharaha, according to some. Time is an indirect cause, nidhita, agitated goodness. I, as Brahman, am all of these three, since Prakriti is my shakti. The Purusha is my amsa. And time is by form of action. Right, so Krishna acts because he acts, that's time. So that principle on which he acts, and then therefore everything else is functioning. So in the spiritual world, then according to one's desire to serve the Lord, therefore action is happening. But in the material world, you're controlled by time because you don't know how to act. Right? In the spiritual world, you have attraction to the Lord. Therefore, you act according to that attraction. And in the material world, you just have an attraction to I'm the controller and enjoy it. That's the only rock that you have. Right? And then it can be specific to some kind that you want to enjoy this way, want to enjoy that way. So this, I'm controlling this, I'm controlling that. So those kind of aspects are there. But the point comes down is that your control, time makes you do things. You want to enjoy yourself, so enjoy. Here, you're in this situation. Now enjoy it. So now it's your choice. Do I act according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra or not? That defines whether what I'm doing is pious or not. You know, or uplifting in karma or degrading in karma. Right? And so the only way to get out of that is to see that system in context of... Right? Then seeing it that way, then you're unaffected. But time means Krishna acts. And so because whatever he does is his potency. Therefore, his action is time. But in the spiritual world, then it'll be about his pastimes. In the material world, it'll be an energy of his that makes the transformations happen in material nature that the living entity identifies with and thinks, I am the controller.
All right.
Yes.
We see like each group worships one of these as prominent. The Mimamsakas, they worship Purusha, the foundational cause, and then the Shaktas, they worship the time, and then or the Prakriti or the mix. Some worship Prakriti, some worship time, some worship Purusha. But only in the Vedanta, they worship the Brahman, who is actually the, you know, the controller of all these three. And then only Vaishnava Vedanta sees that Brahman as the supreme, as a person.
Yes.
And then it goes on, like, it's described, the Swayam Rupa is the form which is completely independent. But the Tadekatma Rupa is form which has full power but dependent on the Swayam Rupa form.
Oh, that's interesting.
We are going to come across that again, Krishna Sandarbha Puru. So this cause and effect goes up till finally you go to the Swayam Bhagavan.
Nice. Yeah. And that will also be in the Pancharatra. We have the difference between the, in the chapter you have, between Sankarshan Pujumna and Adi Ruda and Vasudeva. So Vasudeva is the fully, you know, independent. They're all independent because they're him. But because they're acting upon, according to his mood, therefore they have that aspect. Does that make sense?
As it's mentioned, they manifest two of the Shaktis fully. But Vasudeva manifests all six potencies fully.
Yeah, because the specific areas will go on at the same time as he's doing, therefore they exist. Krishna does things in time or place or circumstance, but then that means that you have the energies of time, place, and circumstance. Because Prakriti is the material cause, I am the material of the universe. Right? Because Prakriti is his energy, and because Prakriti is the ingredients of the universe, therefore Krishna is the ingredients. But though matter undergoes change, I do not. Right? He stays the same, even though matter is adjusting according to the you know, the influence of the modes of time and all that. It doesn't affect him. He remains the same. Though Prakriti is my Shakti, it is not my Swarup Shakti, but my external energy. I am famous in scriptures as being beyond Maya and my Swarup. Sardartha Darshini 11:24-19. One thing, yes, one thing you do is also, even if you do that, is that you indent it also.
Yes, Maharaj.
As the purport, like above that, it says Prakriti, you indent it up to there, the purport part, and then the verse itself, I mean, the purport itself will be indented again.
Yes, Maharaj.
In the main explanations about creation, the conclusion is that it takes place by transformation of Pradhan. Bhagavan, Lord of Mahavaikuntha, in his Swamsa expansion as the Purusha, full of potency, at a certain moment of time, placed the Jivas into Maya, which became agitated by Purus. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:5-6. Commentary by Srila Bhakti. Some claim time is a major category of existence, and they quote the following words of the Markandeya Purana to support their idea. In the form of seconds, minutes, and other parts of its nature, time changes everything in the material world. The idea that time is a major category of existence is rejected by the sutra. Time is not a major category. It is merely an intermediary who establishes a relationship. Right, so they're saying time changes everything. They're saying, oh, it's major. But the point is, no, time simply connects things. And therefore, there's change. It's like the broker. The broker brings together the buyer and the seller. And so then things happen.
Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur emphasizes this point because the Advaitavadis, they use time as a tool to establish avidya's control over Ishvara. So that's why he has to emphasize this more, just to establish it doesn't have an existence on its own. It's just establishing the relationship time.
Yeah, you always have to be careful because you know what everybody thinks, so you're using your words carefully so you don't say something that way. Until you've established what you're talking about, then you can go. In Sandilya Bhakti Sutra, it is said the major categories are 1, spirit, and 2, matter. There is no third. Yes. In Srimad Bhakti, so they're trying to put it as a third category because then it can control Ishvara. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26:16, so basically time just brings spirit and matter together.
Also, Maharaj, that's how the poetry helps them because it's always spoken as the third person. So that you don't have any personal influence and then you as soul is all okay. And
yeah, that's also there. It's that you talk in third person. This third person is generic, so it's less. Means it's not exactly a pronoun. It's just an impersonal pronoun. You say he or she, you know. But if you say them, it's an impersonal group because it doesn't define anybody. So that means also in the modern context of trying to move more towards the impersonal words, less.
So they can express any nonsense they want because.
Yeah. Once you make it impersonal, now you can do it one. It's only if it's a person, then persons somehow or another get grumpy. But if they're just a category, yeah, statistics don't get grumpy. Yeah, okay. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26:16, Lord Krishna explains, the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature. Yeah. The influence of Christ of Krishna's time. That's great. He brings everything together because time moves on. And so then the body will be finished. Therefore, then you feel that fear because you identify with the material body. You don't identify, then you're fearless because you just see the Lord. Sutra 26. Matter provides a dwelling place for the conditioned souls. This place is called, quote, the three dimensions of material space. Udriti. Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the following in this regard in Anucheda 56. The result of Maya is the universe. By the Lord's entrance into the elements, they combine together and form an unconscious globe, from which the universal form composed the mass of jivas arose. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26:51. The unconscious globe arose from the elements agitated. Anu Vidhe Yaha by the Lord. From that globe arose the universal form. The universal globe, called Visesha, is surrounded by layers of elements, such as water, each 10 times thicker than the previous layer, covered by a layer of property on the outside. Within the universe are the varieties of planets, which are a form of the Supreme Lord. So then that universal form, that's visesha because it has the individual uniquenesses of it. But it's also the And so the universe, the globe itself is the universal form because it's everything. It's whatever is there, whatever can be used, whatever can be applied, whatever combinations, it's all there in that. Then, according to time, acting on the jivas, it'll be agitated so certain things manifest at certain times. But it's all based on the overall aspect of, like you said, that foundation in which it can be applied. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Matter provides a dwelling place for the conditioned souls. Matter provides a dwelling place for the conditioned souls. This place is called the three dimensions of material space. An example of material space is given in these words in the Sweetasvatara Upanishad 4.67. Although the two birds are on the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the tree. The tree here is the material dwelling place, the body of the conditioned soul. But, so it's a dwelling place. Many philosophers assert that the element earth is the resting place of the other material elements. This is described in the following words of the Mundaka Upanishad 2.1.3. From the Supreme Personality of Godhead are born life, mind, all the senses, ether, air, fire, and water. All these rest on the element earth. In the previous mantra, Mundaka Upanishad 2.1.12, it said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is effulgent and transcendental. He is unborn. He is present everywhere in the material world. He is within and without everything. His form is not material. His life force is not material. His mind is not material. He is supremely glorious. He is greater than the immortal spirit soul. The Markandeya Upanishad said, O material potency of the Lord, you are the resting place of the entire universe. In the next sutra, the author reveals the many delusions that bewildered the conditioned souls. Sutra 27. Because of attachment to inert matter, the conditioned soul is bewildered about happiness and about the spiritual world. Finally. Right, because he's attached to matter, therefore he doesn't know what actual happiness is and what the spiritual world is. So he thinks that attachment to matter will generate happiness, right? Because he by nature is ananda, right? But he's attached to matter, so then naturally he'll think this matter will create, existence. It's what I'm conscious about. Matter will create, by using my willpower, I will get action and reaction and all that. And by matter, I will also become happy, right? And get rid of the stress. So because of that, they don't actually know what real happiness is, and they don't know what the spiritual world is. They can't tell. Because they're absorbed in matter, they're using matter as the basis of their focus. So when you use the Lord's energies without the Lord, then they naturally just become the opposite. They become the external energy. So the Sandini Sambit aspects of the Lord's potency, when we see them alone, and we think that they alone will give my happiness, right? Because it's about our own happiness. Then you're dealing with material energy. Right? So. Food drinking. Srila Jiva Goswami explains how the jiva is conditioned by material energy in Anuchheda 2. Having explained that the world is the natural shakti of Paramatma, and hinting that the jiva, by knowledge, can destroy the world, his relationship with it, the author explains the ahankara, which creates a new body, is made of Paramatma. instructed. But is an obstacle to revealing Jiva's roof. In order to teach rejection of this, of its adhyasa, imposition, by which one can attain liberation. But so the living entity, because of his relationship with the world, then he identifies with the world, then he's unable to see the Lord, right? So the world is a natural shakti of the Lord, but at the same time as the jiva is also a natural shakti of the Lord. And then the time factor is there in which the jiva now can make a connection with the external energy. Does that make sense? The cloud is a product of the sun and is revealed by the sun, but the cloud covers the eye, another portion of the sun, right? Because the sun, the eye works on fire on the sun. No light, the eye doesn't work. The effects of Brahman are revealed by Brahman. Similarly, the ahankara, the effect of Brahman, makes the jiva, a portion of Brahman, bind himself up. So by Krishna's influence, then, because the living entity is turning away from Krishna, therefore this cloud is created. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.4.32. Purport by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. If everything is Brahman, because everything is the effect of Brahman, how can the jivas, portions of Brahman, be covered by a ahankara? Okay. If everything is Brahman, because everything is the effect of Brahman, how can the jivas, portions of Brahman, be covered by a ahankara, the effect of Brahman, which is illusion? And being covered, how do they become bewildered? An example is given. The rays of the sun transformed into clouds become rain. It is said, oblations to fire go to the sun. From the sun, they transform into rain. Rain transforms into food and then into living entities. The product of the cloud, the sun is a cloud. Thus, clouds are manifested by the sun. They cause a covering of the eye, blocking the sun, though the eye is a portion of the sun as well. Similarly, ahankara, an effect of Brahman, binds up the jiva, a portion of Brahman. Atmabandhanaha means the jiva binds himself. So, it's an effect. The jiva binds himself by not seeing things in connection with Brahman. The meaning is this. The power of the sun revealed, darshitaha, only by the sun, becomes a dense cloud, ganaha, a form of darkness. A form of darkness on earth and heaven for the eyes. Darkness on heaven and earth for the eyes. Maybe put a comma after heaven. Because, yes, for the materialists, it's a form of darkness on earth, but because they want to see this material darkness, therefore becomes heaven for the eyes. Right, so we want to avoid that. So if I put the comma there, then you know heaven and earth. So arising from a portion of the sun. Similarly, the material ahankara, aham, arising is an effect of Paramatma Shakti. Ramagunaha, revealed by Paramatma, Tad Ipshita, becomes an obstacle to revealing the Swarup of the Jiva, who is a small amsha of Paramatma as the Tatasya Shakti. Brahman Shakasya. Commentary by Srila Bhakti Thakur. The conditioned soul is bewildered about happiness. Because he is attached to the material world, he thinks he will find happiness in the material world. In Swargaloka, in an excellent material body, or in some other way. Right, so he'll find some way to become happy in the material world. either some nice facility here, or he'll go to the heavenly planets and he'll enjoy their better facility. So one's always trying to improve the quality of facility so it improves your enjoyment. Because he is attached to the objects in this material world, he is also bewildered about the Supreme Person of Godhead and about the transcendental abode of the Supreme Person of Godhead. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.10.26, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, in the human race, the mode of passion is very prominent. Humans are always busy in the midst of miserable life, but they think themselves happy in all respects. Right? So mode of passion means that there'll be action. So that's the whole point. It's time that is effective. In the Katha Upanishad 1.1.12, Nachiketa tells Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, in the spiritual world, there is not fear of old age, or of youth, or death. There, one crosses beyond both of them. In the spiritual world, there is no anxiety to obtain food and drink. The residents of the spiritual world enjoy transcendental bliss. In the Katha Upanishad 1.1.26, Nachiketa says, every human being soon meets his death. Quickly, his senses become old, weak. Everyone's life is brief. Your chariots, singing and dancing will last for only a moment. In Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12, it is said, in the Mundaka Upanishad 1-12, it said, seeing the true nature of the heavenly planets attained by pious deeds, a Brahmin no longer desires to go there. But the true nature is, it's also temporary. It's just like you're here 100 years, and you're thinking it's short. I wish I could live longer. Oh, the demigods live for tens of thousands of years. But when you get there, it's only there 100 years. And the point is just as you're conditioned here to a certain amount of happiness, then when you get there, that's the standard happiness, you'll get conditioned to that. Right? And so, therefore, you'll still enjoy yourself. He becomes renounced and desires to learn the science of transcending the material world. To learn the transcendental subject matter, one must approach a spiritual master. In doing so, he should carry fuel to burn the sacrifice. The symptoms of such a spiritual master is that he is expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion. Therefore, he constantly engages in the service of the Supreme Person of God. Right, so, someone who needs the living entities attached to the material world, because of that, they don't know themselves, they don't know the spiritual world, they don't know the Lord. But when one understands the actual true nature of the material world, then one approaches the proper spiritual master and then, you know, moves forward in spiritual life. Then one can know the Supreme Personality of Godhead in service. So it's only through devotional service can you actually know who you are and what is the material nature. In the Mundaka Upanishad 1-10, it is said, thinking material pious deeds the best of all actions, and affirming that no other action is better than them. Fools go to swarga, and joy, and then return to this world or the worlds beneath it. Mundaka Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita 262-63, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. And from such attachment, lust develops. And from lust, anger arises. From anger, delusion arises. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, it falls down again into the material pool. Right? So one becomes very much distracted. So there's an idea of what you want. You have an attachment to that. You don't get it. You know, you have an attachment, therefore there's lust for it, right? You don't get it, you become angry. Right? Now in anger, now you start delusion comes up. So now you don't see things as they are. And you don't remember in the past of how things work. Then you don't apply your intelligence. And then you just, you know, it'll just go down. So you see is that these modern social constructs, they're doing just that. You have those who are saying, yes, you do this, you'll be happy. Others tried that, that didn't happen, so they're angry. And so they come up with philosophies that don't have any actual basis on the reality of what you see around you. And that, and even if you try using them, they don't work. But they're committed to that because their intelligence is lost, so therefore then everything falls apart. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.